I'm Alex Myers. I teach English at Phillips Exeter Academy, and that's also where I went to high school. I grew up in rural Maine, in Paris, Maine, just across the New Hampshire border, and I was born and raised as a girl. I was named after my mother's favorite aunt, a wonderful woman named Alice, who I loved as a child because she had a dozen cats, and she could make them do tricks. She would not feed them their Sunday dinner until they had rolled over. I thought this was highly impressive. And even though I'm named after her, I can't make my cats do anything except sleep. Anyhow, so from very early on, I've always thought of myself as a boy. I was the classic quintessential tomboy as a little kid. Maine is a great place to be a tomboy. Most women I knew wore jeans and flannel shirts, unless they were forced not to. That was my dress code as well. And in 1992, when I came to Phillips Exeter as a freshman, it was mind-opening in so many ways. You know, I'd never met a person of color before. I'd really never heard a foreign language except for French, because of the Quebecois, spoken before. I was totally out of my element, and it was the first time that I met out LGB people as well. And it was at the academy that I had openly gay and openly lesbian teachers and saw a model for myself that had never been presented before. I came out as a lesbian. I met other lesbians through youth groups, and by my senior year in 1995, I had come out as transgender and started living as a guy in my senior year, and I was the Academy's first transgender student. From there, I went on to undergraduate at Harvard. I was also the first openly transgender student there, and I worked to change the non-discrimination clause at the university to include gender identity. That work started in 1996 and didn't actually pass until 2010, so I know this is a long fight. Phillips Exeter just included it in its non-discrimination clause last year, maybe a year and a half ago at this point, and I've always been in it for the long haul. I think the one exception to that, after I've been out for about 2.5 years, I really felt tired of a lot of being out all the time, being a very public personality, and I decided I would just take a break. So I got a job. I'd been working part-time as a cook to pay for college, so I took a break, and I went out to Wyoming to work as a cook out there on a ranch. I was there for a while, doing good work, very happy, but when the boss found out I was transgender, he said, "Pack your bag, you're done." And he drove me back into town, and it was the longest truck ride of my life. The whole way there, he lectured me on who I was not a human being and why I was wrong. And he said, "I'm going to watch you get on a bus, and you're going to get out of town." And I remember getting out of that truck and saying, he can legally fire me from this job, but he cannot make me leave town. So I gave him the finger and walked downtown, got another job, worked as a forest ranger for the rest of my time out in Wyoming, had a blast. And I said to myself when I came back east, I will never hide who I am again. I will always be out. And fast forward 10 years later, I was teaching at St. George's School in Newport, Rhode Island. Just arrived there, taught there for about a semester and a half. And a bunch of parents, I did not teach their kids, I didn't coach their kids, I didn't have their kids in the dorm, Googled me and found out that I was transgender. I was out to my colleagues, I wasn't out to the students yet. They called the head of school, and they said, "You got to get rid of this guy. He's transgender, and that's not appropriate to have working with kids." The headmaster called me in. I did my research. Rhode Island is a state that protected against gender discrimination based on gender identity in 2007. It's one of the first New England states to do so. So I knew he couldn't fire me, and I knew he couldn't even really transfer me out of working with kids into a sort of non-contact position. He went over with me all of the things that these people said, which was basically that they didn't like transgender people, that transgender people made them uncomfortable. They thought that transgender people were not appropriate individuals to be working with students. And what he said at the end of it was, "We have a lot of work to do with our parents." And that's the kind of message that I want. But I only felt empowered to go into that meeting because of that protection. If I had been back in Wyoming, if I had frankly been in New Hampshire, I would have been so scared and nervous. And I don't know who I would have called to get the strength to go into that meeting. But I knew he couldn't. I knew, in fact, he was somewhat powerless to just fire me as these parents wanted to. And so that's been my MO ever since, is we have a lot of work to do, and we're going to do it. I work a lot with schools across the state, with parents of transgender kids. It's a community that needs your support and your help. I was just up at Dartmouth working for their family day for transgender families who have kids who are going through transition. a lot of these people live in very rural areas. They're the only transgender person around. They don't have a support system. The schools want to, in many cases, support them, but they don't know what to do. And so I think this bill is, at the basic level, saying to the state, transgender people are human beings and deserve basic human protection. And that is the work that I want to do.